the place for the realest conversations.
I appreciate United Garden Homes for stopping through with a check for $2,000.
Yes.
Some people came through anonymously.
Yes.
Dropped off money. The family has received those funds. And whatever you can do, if everybody do a little, nobody has to do a lot.
The movement continues.
What are some of the conditions in the jail that got people upset, like the living conditions on a day-to-day basis?
We'll come out of our cell at 11 o'clock in the morning. We'll get food and we'll get medication. So that shortens the time. Out of those 2 hours, we'll probably get an hour out and then we'll have to lock back down. And by lock back down, I mean we stay in our cell. We get fed in our cell. We don't come out of our cell at all. And that's pretty much the biggest problem. And they simply say that they're short staffed, but that's not enough because they knew that they were going to be short staffed. Like, this has been a problem for over 2 years now.
The marathon continues.
There's never been a better time to make change in the city of Milwaukee, starting with the youth. And we talked about the housing. Willie Hines, y'all boy Willie Hines, and they trying to change the leadership over there. We got our hands full, and it's not the time. But we got attorney B. Ivy Lamar on the lines right now, calling from the courthouse. How you doing, attorney B. Ivy Lamar?
Hey, what's going on, Tori? I'm good, man. Happy to be here.
Joining me on the lines, Dr. Umar Johnson. How you doing, brother, Dr. Umar Johnson?
Peace and Pan-Africanism, good brother, Black Power, to all my brothers and sisters in Milwaukee, Kenosha, Green Bay, Racine, and across the state of Wisconsin.
Yo, peace, King. I'm going to stand with you and walk with you, brother.
God bless you.
Because I think it's an important thing what you're doing, and you need to have the support of the community. Regardless if we live in these areas or not, it all affects us in one way or shape or form.
It's time for that action and all the smoke. This is the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association award-winning Tori Low Show on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and streaming live on YouTube.
Man, best show in the world, bro. You got the best show in the world. Hope you know that, man.
God bless you, brother. I appreciate that.
Big up, big up, big up to you both. Thank you so, so, so much. Tori, you spoke to my kids. Liz, you did too. But you spoke to my kids, and when I tell you both that they was talking about what we did earlier that morning, all day. Mm. That's literally what they was doing. They was talking about it all day.
My
son was just hollering, we're Tori. Like,
I wanted to make sure that I let you know that to hear a person and have a person like you in this community, the way that you are selfless, the way that you give, even when your cup is not even full, you are filling other people's cups. And that just inspires me to want to make sure that I help you the best way that I can by doing my part.
As always, my good brother, stay cool, stay calm, stay focused.
Now, live from the Avenue in the heart of downtown Milwaukee, here is the king of talk radio, Tori Lowe.
White people are gonna cry.
Justice Wisconsin, the truth, the most requested advocate in the state. 101.7 FM, the movement continues. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Milwaukee, stand up, stand up. It's Tory Lowe, the truth, from one to four. We about that action, so tap in and let's go. We want that justice, we want all the smoke. From Monday through Friday, trying to bring the city hope. Yeah, Tory Lowe from one to four, Monday through Friday, let's go. We about that action from the block, and we ready, let's go. Tap in, and it ain't no holding back, we ready. 101.7 The Truth. Tori Lowe, Tori Lowe Show, live from American Family Insurance Studio at the Avenue. And I'm here for the action.
And nothing but that action.
And I want all the smoke.
Who wants the smoke today?
Salute to all my brothers and sisters on the front lines. The marathon continues.
The movement continues.
How y'all doing out there in radio land? Salute to everybody in the chat. We got another powerful show for you today. So I'm going to need y'all to open up your ears, okay? Hey, salute, salute, salute. I see you in the chat. I see Kawan in the chat, S.E., Jeff, Josh. I see Josh in the chat.
Salute to everybody joining the show in the chat today. If you ain't joining the chat, hey, you missing out on a great chat. Salute to everybody that's joining the show out there in radio land. We got a lot to talk about. Also, I got a call from the miracle minister, Kevin, who is, and he was in the hospital. And he is not going to be able to make the Monday prayer. So if there's a minister out there in radio land that want to give a Monday prayer in place of Minister Kevin, that would be much needed. Or we'll just have a quick moment of silence for the Monday prayer. But if there, I'm going to give 2 minutes. If there's a minister out there in radio land that wants to give a powerful Monday prayer. Once again, I got the text from the miracle minister, Kevin, and he's in IOCU at Frederick. He's been there since Friday night. He's saying he might be released sometime this afternoon. Just send up prayers for the miracle minister, Kevin, because he's going through a lot. Still recovering from being shot driving Uber over a year ago, over a year ago. So when we talk about people showing up, people just irregardless of the circumstances, he was one of those people that have shown up, even though he was injured, for many that I seen with my own eyes, and continued to do the work that God have called him to do. But right now we're gonna go into just a quick moment of silence. You could play the music. Once again, bow your heads and say a quiet prayer for the miracle minister Kevin and the city. Hey, all right. Once again, the miracle minister Kevin is down right now. He needs our prayers, Truth Nation. He is in IOCU at Frederick Hospital. He's been there since Friday night. He reached out to me late last night to let me know his condition. And I continue to send prayers up for the miracle minister Kevin. Once again, not available. This is the first time since his accident that he was in this situation, and he needs our prayers now. The man that comes in and prays for the city every Monday definitely needs our prayers. So once again, we need to be about that action, a call to action to pray for the health of the miracle minister Kevin and a speedy recovery. That's what we want, a speedy recovery. But I'll get into the show today. We're going to get into the show. Oh, how much time we got left? We still got 3 minutes. Also, before, you know what? I'll get into the stories in the next segment. But there is something that is happening, and I wanted to talk to you about it. The situation out in Brookfield that's been going on, with the what they're saying is a black man was found hung on the golf course in Brookfield. And I've chatted with the family. I've had talks with the family. All the family wants is transparency. We're going to get into that. We're going to get into that later in the show, probably a little bit in depth. But I'll say this. When we made a post about the Brookfield situation, I think a lot of people, and I'm not talking about black people, I think some of the white comments are very disrespectful in this situation. They, when it comes to a situation like this, many times it's just best to stay out of it. Many times it's just best to keep your mouth closed because you're trying to look at it from your perception. And can you imagine black Americans, the way we look at somebody being found hung on a golf course in Brookfield. Like, even if it is a suicide, all the family was asking for was transparency. All they wanted to say, okay, show us the proof that he did this. Okay, that's all they was asking for. And you got some people chiming in, oh, we need to let it go and put it aside, or, you know, it's a conspiracy theory. See, this is why I say this. Sometimes people don't know when to shut their mouth. Sometimes people don't know when to sit this one out. Let's say it was a suicide. If the family wants transparency, allow them to have the transparency. That's it. You can't tell me there's no cameras in that area. You can't tell me that he wasn't on camera or something. And if that's what the family wants is transparency, respect that and then allow them to see the transparency of him committing suicide. That's it. Ain't no conspiracy. If he did it, he did it. But if he didn't, then it's a problem. So, and you know how it is when it comes to situations like this, highly intense situations where a black man hanging in Brookfield, that's already triggering. That's already triggering. Okay, so allow the family to see something of evidence of a suicide. That's all. Even if you don't show the public, even if the public doesn't have to see it, but allow the family members to see what happened to their loved one. I know y'all remember the recent situation with the guy who hit the police officer with the pistol. Understand what I'm saying? His family was traumatized and they were saying this and that. But once you put the video out there, it stops all of that. The moment you put or allow the family to see the video or kind of quell the suspicion, it's over with. So until the family gets some transparency or some exact evidence that it could have been a suicide or whatever, only thing that's going to happen is the imagination is going to take over in this situation. And we should have learned from the last situation with the officer who got hit with the pistol to put the video out here so people can say, okay, let's move on. Hey, look, when we come back, we're going to get into the show. Truth Nation. Stay locked in right here on Tory Lowe.
More of the Tory Lowe Show is next on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com. This is the Tory Lowe Show on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com.
One on one, seven the truth. Tory Lowe show. Look, it's the weather is changing, and around this time of the year, that's when I start getting the sniffles. And just the other day, I was not feeling good on the air. I was shocked that I was able to make it through 3 hours without a lot of people in the chat asking me, you know, did I take some cough syrup or something like that? Because I was going crazy on the breaks, just sneezing and everything. So, but I want to get into this next story because when you feel down and you feel like, okay, I'm getting a little cold, sometimes you want to open up a nice can of soup, of chicken noodle soup. And many times that soup is Campbell's. Many times it's Campbell's chicken noodle soup. And now I'm seeing an article that made me raise an eyebrow because a Campbell Soup VP claims that the chicken comes from a 3D printer and is horrible for you. And he also said it's for poor people. We got video. I can't believe this. I can't believe that this because I thought I was giving my kids something when they got sick. I thought it was something healthy and something that was, you know, something that was going to be powerful to boost their immune system. But that ain't what the VP is saying. Let's listen.
Poor people. Who buys our shit?
And that's just part of an over an hour long rant, says former security analyst for Campbell's, Robert Garza of Monroe.
I don't buy Campbell's products barely anymore. It's so healthy. Now that I know what the in it, even in a can of soup, I look at it, look at me, bioengineered me. I don't want to eat a piece of chicken that came from a 3D printer, you?
The recording allegedly of Campbell's VP and Chief Information Security Officer Martin Bally.
He has no filter.
Bally, along with another supervisor and Campbell Soup Company, named in a lawsuit filed Thursday. The suit claiming Bally made racist remarks, admits to coming to work high, and Garza fired for coming forward.
What do you think about the things that he was saying?
Oh, just pure disgust.
Garza says he usually worked remotely for Campbell's headquarters based in Camden, New Jersey. But thinking he'd be discussing his salary with Bally, he says the recording taken in person at a restaurant. Garza says
wow.
He felt sick after the rant, deciding to go to his direct supervisor in January, keeping the recordings to himself.
He had never had any disciplinary action. They had never written him up for poor work performance.
Garza says no one at Campbell's ever followed up, and it's taken him 10 months to find a new job, calling the way the canned soup company handled it simply terrible.
They have a motto, you know, like we treat you like family, you know, here at Campbell's, you know, come work for us, you know, we treat our employees like
that's
family.
That's enough.
That's
we already that's get the point. The we get the point, Andrew. The thing is, this is what I don't like. This man works as VP. You know how you rise up through the country, not through the company. How you can rise up through the company to become VP, and this is what he said, that this for poor people. That's what he said, and it's not healthy. I said, OMG, I got a whole case of this at my house where I am, where I live. Campbell Soup. They say the chicken comes from the 3D printer. Andrew, you got some of this?
3D printed meat? No.
You got some Campbell Soup.
In my house? Yeah, for sure.
That's what they said. He said the meat is printed. Remember? Oh, well, I guess this was a while back. We talked about the 3D printed meats that was coming. And we didn't know exactly where they was going to be. And they don't even have to tell you that the chicken was 3D printed. But it's called bioengineered meat. Wow.
Are you going to throw your cans away?
Most definitely. I'm going to switch to another brand.
Great Value?
It don't matter what brand. I mean, I guess once you find out the truth, you got to switch it up. Maybe I'll start cutting up a whole chicken to make an organic chicken noodle soup. I don't know.
Chef Tori.
You know what? I could go to YouTube and figure it out. It's a lot of people on YouTube that'll teach you how to make organic chicken soup. But I need y'all to chime into the chat and let me know how y'all feel about this. This VP from Campbell Soup. Telling the truth now. He told the truth. He didn't have to, you know. He works there at a high level. If you can't believe what he's saying, don't take my word for it. He said it was horrible. He said it was horrible for you. You know what they say about the curse of the chunky soup, you know, from the football players. Every football player that got to deal with chunky soup got hurt. Maybe they was eating the 3D printed meats. Or was it 3D printed back then? I don't know. I used to wonder, how could meat stay alive in a can on a shelf and still taste, you know, tasty? I mean, I thought it was because they vacuumed all the air. I thought it's because they sealed the air in the can and it kept. Long as it wasn't the air getting in there, it kept it fresh. I don't even think this is a rabbit hole because the VP said it's 3D printing. I'm not going down the rabbit hole. I think this VP told what he felt about a product that was paying his bills. Now, you know how hardcore or hard up you got to be to diss a product that's actually paying your car note. Hey, this is terrible. This is terrible. You know how many food shelters got this to give out? Next time we have one of these food shelters come in, I'm going to read this article. And I want them to tell me, does this change their minds about handing it out? Maybe you take out the little dices of chicken and keep the noodles in the soup. But wouldn't the soup be made from the printed meat? I don't know. Is it a broth? Somebody help me out.
We need Chef Tori to go down there to the soup kitchens with his like gourmet chicken noodle soup.
I need to go down there with the gourmet chicken noodle soup and just help everybody out.
Oh, for sure. Big ladle,
Hold on. They need to make me VP then. Because if I come up with my own organic flavor, then I need to call Campbell Soup and say, I heard what the VP said. Here go my original. I got this original recipe with 11 herbs and spices. I'll say with like probably like 5 herbs and spices or something like that. I'll just make it 5 because I don't want to take away from KFC because that everybody got rumors circulating about that chicken too. But what I'm saying is I just want to make sure that this gets out here because he said it was for poor people. This is in Newsweek. The VP for Campbell's Soup mocks poor people in a secret recording. So all y'all that got them SNAP benefits and went down there and got some Campbell's Soup.
Damn.
I'm just saying. That's what he was talking about. He was trying to throw that out there. Josh says, I hope we learned that they can't make money off a healthy body. They capitalize the more we sick. But this is something that you gave to people when they got sick. Kind of like what they said about the ginger. Hey, it was all psychological. This ain't no rabbit hole. They said that it was ginger. And a lot of these sodas, the ginger ale, didn't have no ginger in it. Here we go. Andrew think everything is conspiracy. All you got to do is use your chat GPT that the company gave us and look it up. Hey, look, when we come back, we'll have the Pop Culture Report. Truth Nation, stay locked in.
You are listening to The Tory Lowe Show on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com. This is The Tory Lowe Show on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com.
One-on-one, 7 The Truth, Tory Lowe Show, joining me for the Pop Culture Report, GP in studio, Truth Nation Insider. Hey,
what it Packers, do?
Green Bay all the way.
They rolling. We got a win streak going more or less, 2 games straight now.
Skulls, get out of town.
Oh, man, and it was a beautiful showing by the defense. Again, Rashawn Gary had a great day.
I hate the Vikings.
You hate them? With a passion?
Yeah, my son became a Viking fan. We was living in Minnesota. Brett Favre was the quarterback. And after, you know, he got excited about the Vikings, then he just, Adrian Peterson signed his football. It was over.
He got legit reasons, but he would have to eat at the side table on Thanksgiving.
That's what I told him. I said, look, it's time for you to come back home. All this nonsense got to stop.
Yeah, tell him get right. It ain't looking too good over there.
You got to go down. I got to take him to the water. I got to dip him down in the water.
And refresh him, revive him.
Yep. Cleanses.
He said, I got to baptize him in green and gold.
Hey.
Hey, man. No, it was a good game. Again, the first half of the game was kind of lackluster. The pass rush, or not the pass rush, but the offensive line, which has been a huge problem all year. It obviously played itself out. Jordan Love was throwing off his back foot almost the entirety of the game. But he had a couple completions to Wicks. He had a couple, you know, completions to Watson, who was the leading receiver yesterday, obviously. I believe he had 5 catches for 45 yards. Right. But, you know, the hero yesterday was Emmanuel Wilson. Again,
yep.
We wondered what the offense we wondered what the offense would look like without Josh Jacobs, because it features him a lot. They use him in the passing game. He's a great blocker, also a great runner in between the tackles. And so, again, Wilson, 28 carries, 107 yards, 2 touchdowns.
Well, Minnesota was a blitz-heavy defense. Mm-hmm. In order to beat the blitz, you got to run straight at it.
Absolutely.
And I think that they just ran straight at it, up the gut, up the middle, gridiron, running game, nothing fancy. And you can blitz all you want.
Yeah, absolutely.
But we're going to have 100 yards rushing.
Exactly. Know? They're not going to get home. No, and it's awesome to see again. This is a team that is making great use of spare parts. And I don't mean to discredit any of the, you know, offensive weapons that the Packers do have, but you don't have your leading receiver again in, you know, Kraft. You don't have, you know, your number one receiver, right, essentially Reed. But Dobbs is out there making plays. Watson is back from injury. They also have Wicks. They have Wilson. So they're making the best of what they have, and they're eking out wins that they're supposed to have. Again,
and the defense looked really good in the second half. I mean, they looked good. There was a bend don't break in the first half. Mm-hmm. But when they came out in the second half, I think they only allowed, like, what?
Not even maybe 30 yards. Yeah. I don't even think the Vikings probably had less than 40 or 50 yards, yeah, of offense in the entire, you know, second half.
Right.
And again, they ran the ball remarkably well in the first half, but the pass rush got home a lot. There was almost 2 or 3 plays where they almost had a safety. The Vikings were essentially, you know, pinned on their own side of the field for the entirety of the second half. And the defense, again, stepped up. They got a couple clutch interceptions. They forced a fumble as well that they recovered. And so they kept J.J. McCarthy uncomfortable the entire game. And so, again, it's what we've known this team to be. They're resilient. They eke out the wins that they're supposed to, you know, when they need to. When everything is working well for them, mm-hmm, they can beat anybody.
And we needed to win this game because the Vikings suck. And I think that the Packers couldn't take a loss right now with the Vikings because you got Chicago.
Who was, yeah, they're on the prowl.
Cardiac Bears.
And it's crazy.
They're pulling it out at the end right now.
No, yeah, they keep finding ways to beat people. And, again, they're another resilient team. I don't really have words to describe what they are, but again, they've had a couple last second wins, a couple last second field goals as well. Seems like Caleb Williams is coming into his own. He understands what he has and the talent that they have.
They're trying to say Caleb Williams is playing better than Jay Love,
and it kind of is
what
they're
trying to say. But I think that right now, when you look at the Bears, this is a surprise.
You think it's a surprise?
Yeah, I mean, nobody thought the Bears was going to be 8-3. If you'd have told me the Bears would have been 8-3, I'd have laughed in your face.
The schedule's a little light for them, though. I think they've benefited from the schedule being a little light. Again, their last loss essentially was versus the Ravens, and save for, you know, a couple of last second touchdowns or late touchdowns in that game, they were in that game for the majority of it. But obviously Cincinnati, the Giants, they beat Minnesota and Pittsburgh, who was without their starting quarterback. So they're finding ways to get out of there. Again, they've beat Cincinnati by 5, they beat the Giants by 4, they won by 2 against Minnesota, and they beat Pittsburgh by 3. So this is a team that is closing out games. They're not worried about necessarily playing from behind or blowing leads. You have a rookie head coach. You essentially still have a rookie, you know, quarterback who's in, I believe, his 3rd or 2nd season now. And they're trying to figure out how they want to manage throughout the division. And the Lions, again, finding their stride offensively as well. So the Packers may be peaking
at
the right
top
time.
Of the division right now.
Right. No, I believe the Bears. It might be a tie right now.
No, because Green Bay got the draw.
You're right.
Green Bay got the draw.
You're right. But we'll see. You know, thank you, Andrew, for clearing that up as well. But, again, we talked about how worried we were going into the divisional portion of the schedule. And they've essentially aced their first test. Again, they beat the Vikings at home, which was a layup. It was an early noon game, and you were wondering, again, how they would respond after not necessarily struggling versus the Giants, but that game was much closer than most people would have anticipated. And so we get a primetime showdown, Thanksgiving noon kickoff against the Lions at Ford Field.
Here we go.
And so, again, this is essentially like them taking the SAT all over again. Are they going to pass? How are they going to grade themselves based on the
wins they
had?
At least it's
going to
be a good matchup this year. Both teams are fighting for the top of the division.
Mm-hmm.
Great game. I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Yeah, it's great. It's good that this game will have some type of significance. You know, obviously, again, they beat them earlier in the year, so the Lions kind of have that scar on their back. And the Lions obviously have had an egg on their face. I believe they had a bad loss a couple weeks ago as well. So everybody's jockeying for position. Nobody's necessarily out of it yet besides the Vikings. And so if the Packers are able to, again, eke out a win against the Lions and they beat the Bears at home, and they have that, obviously, that last kind of matchup with the Bears on the road, too, as well with another Vikings, you know, matchup late in the season. They're poised to still win the division and potentially put themselves in position for a top three, if not top four seed, and host a playoff game, which is obviously the goal right now going forward for this team.
Well, I want to move on to another game that I was keeping my eye on. Shedeur Sanders.
You could throw it up. You could
throw it. His first start.
Yeah, we could throw it up.
Had his first start.
He looked good.
Oh, my goodness. Against the Las Vegas Raiders. Powerful display of calmness in spite of the situation that's going on in Cleveland.
Right. I think the biggest thing here is a lot of people got on him for how he handled the pre-draft process, how he interviewed with teams like the Giants, with the Steelers, because people did not like the kind of energy.
The supreme confidence.
Yeah, and the circus that kind of comes with it.
They don't want a brother to have supreme confidence. Don't they tell you to be believe in yourself?
Absolutely. Be
but
who you
when
are.
You, when you really believe in yourself and overbelieve and overachieve like Shedeur did, only quarterback that I've seen that play for HBCU, go to Colorado, put both teams in bowl position, and then came into the league as somebody that was highly watched. The NFL draft wouldn't have been as exciting after day one unless Shedeur was being held over to the fifth round. If he hadn't been held over to the fifth round, people would have started going to sleep after that. But at the end of the day, look what they did to him in Cleveland. It's like, and I'm just going to say this, it's like watching a slave getting whipped. That's what it looked like. Yeah, it do. Because why wouldn't you give him any reps with the first team?
Yeah.
You would think that even when they moved him to QB2, that they would give him reps to prepare him. They did not.
Yeah, it's tough. Again,
okay, that's what I'm saying.
Again, being a former football player, the last thing that you really want on your team is a quarterback controversy. And again, going through the draft process, obviously they have not had a stable quarterback room for, you know, probably I want to say a decade, if not 15 years or so, even longer kind of back into the 90s. And so they were very worried about him coming over and being not necessarily a martyr, I don't want to say, but his energy, his braggadocious confidence.
You want your quarterback to be like that. All right. What was the Jets quarterback that said he, Joe Namath?
Right.
Okay, he said.
Oh, he was coming in wearing minks and all
that.
Come on
now. All right, stop it. Stop this.
You got it.
All right, stop this. All I'm saying is you want your quarterback to be that dude.
That is true.
Himothy. You want that. When it's real, when you really believe it, then you see the pushback. All I'm saying is he came out, he was composed, he was relaxed. They did not allow him to get into the red zone. Okay? Then they punt. They punt the ball at the 29-yard line.
Yeah, so nobody cleared the under. Yeah, we know how that goes.
Okay, so, the Cleveland Browns is really exposing a lot of different things right now.
Yep, no, I think, again, it's good to see that he finally got a shot.
I mean, why wouldn't they want the over? If they kick the field goal, they meet the over. Okay, so what I'm saying is I've never seen nobody punt the ball on the 29-yard line my whole life.
I have seen it before. But again, in college, the spread don't.
No, I'm talking about in the NFL.
I've never seen that. I'm not gonna lie.
In the NFL,
I've seen sky punts, but I've never seen anybody punt that close to a chip shot. Why would you
take the chip shot? Go up by three scores.
Yeah, and just kick it off again and then play some defense. Yeah, okay. I know. Which the defense was remarkable yesterday. But no, again, it was great to see how he looked with a full week's practice. Again, with all of the starters and all of the ones in. The numbers reflect, again, the consistency and the skill that he kind of had. He only threw 20 passes, and he still threw for 200 yards. And that save for, again, they had a really bad turnover. I believe he threw like a 40-yard, 50-yard pass to Jerry Jeudy, and he was trying to do too much, trying to make a play, and they had that fumble, which kind of flipped the field. But he should have had at least two or three long passing touchdowns. There was another one he completed to, Dylan Sampson, I believe it was a 50-yard like screen pass. He kept it super simple. It was a crisp game plan, and they used their running back to keep, you know, take the pressure off of him. And I think the best part for me, again, is seeing the out pouring of support. Again, Cameron was there. Matt Barnes was there. I believe Stephen Jackson was there in the suite, as well as his father. And it's good to see, again, other young, or not young black athletes, but black athletes that have gone through some of the media kind of scrutiny that he has.
I've never seen an athlete getting treated like Shador.
No. And again, it's
coming
good to
into
see.
The league, going through what he went through, not even take, had a week of practice with the first team.
Yeah.
And won.
And if it's looking like this, it's going to be Chris for the rest of the season.
Okay.
Again, he's playing with house money now, so he can take
Stefanski
all
the... Stefanski is trash.
Yeah, he might be coaching college.
Come on now.
Soon.
Like,
yeah.
it's no way, it's no way to explain what's going on in Cleveland.
Yeah.
I mean, I know as analysts, people try to, you know, kind of look at both sides or whatever. How do some of these grown men hate on a young man that's trying to be the greatest version of himself?
It's just tough. Again, when you see people in the media kind of hating, these are people that wanted to do it their own way, but it didn't work for them. They didn't have the success that he could potentially have, whether it be prior to, you know, going to the NFL or in college in general. And so, again, the Cleveland Browns are 3-8. They're out of the playoff race effectively, but it's going to be good to see him get out there and grow. He gets these live reps. He gets to play some very good teams along the way. And again, they can only paint the story so much further. Kevin Stefanski either is going to have to accept the talent that's there and build it to save his job, or he'll be right out the door
behind
it. Do Shador
start next game for the Cleveland Browns?
They announced it 2 hours ago. He's listed as the starter going in the 49ers. So
okay, that's what I'm talking about. Somebody in the chat says, Johnny Manziel is an example of too cocky. Shador Sanders play way better than Manziel.
That's a stretch. Manziel had some of the best college years.
Here we go.
That's a stretch.
Here we go. Hey, look, when we come back, we'll have more Pop Culture Report with GP. Truth Nation! Stay locked in.
The Tory Lowe Show returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is The Tory Lowe Show on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Seven the Truth, Tory Lowe Show. Joining me for the Pop Culture Report, GP.
What it do?
In studio. What else is going on out here in these pop culture streets?
So there was kind of a clip that I stumbled upon last week. Obviously, you know, people during the holiday season, you tend to travel. And obviously one of the things that you use the most to travel would be an airplane. And so Sean Duffy, the Secretary of Transportation, they basically launched a new campaign last Wednesday in what he calls the golden age of travel starts with you. And so it kind of has the Frank Sinatra come fly with me kind of thing in the background. And so in it, he basically asks, are you dressing with respect? Are you keeping control of your children? Bringing civility back, I think, enhances the travel experience for everybody, Duffy said in a Fox News business appearance, adding, let's maybe go back to an era where we didn't wear our pajamas to the airport.
The gray sweatpants.
Basically. And so Andrew has the clip, and so we'll let y'all.
And the booty shorts.
We'll let y'all take a listen.
People dress up like they're going to bed when they fly. You know, I see people getting on airplanes, and they're having a hard time taking their luggage and getting in the oversized or the above bin. Help people out. Be nice. Be courteous. And so we want to push people as we come into a really busy travel season. Help people out. Be in a good mood. Dress up. Bring civility back to travel. And I think everyone's experience is going to be that much better. People dress up like they're going to bed.
Bring civility back to travel.
Sounds a little targeted if you ask me.
Sounds like one of them club dress codes. That when they don't want black people to come.
Yeah, no ripped jeans.
Right.
No, none of that. No ripped hoodies and stuff like that. I've never understood, again, why we want to police people so much. As long as it's in good taste, why can't I travel in what I want to travel to? I've never thought of putting on a 3-piece suit and some church shoes to go fly to Miami and go play in the sand. I don't understand why they're trying to regulate or why they're worried so much about it. There's so many other problems within flying that need to be fixed. Again, TSA being super aggressive. Some of the things that you can't carry on planes or the amount of stuff that you can't carry on planes. I know a lot of things are done for our safety post 9/11 and stuff like that, obviously, but it feels like it's targeting one specific group of people who end up traveling more often than not.
With the bonnets and stuff.
Yeah, and comfort. And your slides and your bonnets and your hoodies and whatever.
With the Yeezys on.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I've never understood that way. I don't know.
I mean, when you fly on a plane, you're going to go to sleep depending on you know, the hour, how many hours the flight is. So I seen a lot of people. I knew it was going to be a situation where people were going to dress down, because then they started buying those things that go around your neck.
The neck pillows
and everything. So they can go to sleep. I mean, why would you wear a suit, you know, if you're not going to really go anywhere once you land? So you want to get to the room. You want to, you know, take a shower and then get dressed up. You don't want to dress up and go and then maybe you have to, you know, redress up again. You can't stop it.
No, it's ridiculous. Again, he keeps talking about kind of civility again. People are selfish when they travel. Again, everybody is coming from a different place, going somewhere else to have whatever experience or whatever memory that they kind of want. A lot of people are stressed out by the, you know, kind of travel kind of feeling. You getting up early, you got to get there, make sure everything's on time, whether there's a delay
then,
and stuff like that or not.
Don't count the time change.
Oh, and then you got to adjust it.
You got jet lag.
It's terrible. I don't understand it. Again, one thing that I really need to kind of, I guess, or I get off my chest, at least I kind of when flying again, like I talked about it with Andrew as well. The whole process of getting through TSA now is actually ridiculous. Again, with having to take off your shoes and everything like that or whatever, and some kind of the unnecessary or random searches and stuff like that. I've been searched a lot of times going through TSA. And I'm in my comfy sweatpants kind of just chilling out, or my you know.
You had the gray sweatpants, though.
Yeah, chilling out. But something might flash out on the little screen or something.
Oh, wow.
I got to go, you know, go through a little pad down or whatever like that. I almost got in trouble one time. It'd be like that, though. I almost got in trouble one time. I'm headed through TSA or whatever, kind of checking everything in. I got my little sweatsuit on and I'm comfy. And you know how they kind of pull you to the side and they ask you if you want to do the search in private or if you want to kind of do it in public. And so obviously I had been searched a couple of times, so I'm kind of used to the protocol or whatever, right? But I'm going through it, and I, you know, tend to giggle because they get into some spots that I don't really want nobody to get into. And so the TSA agent got into a beef with me because he's like, why are you laughing? I'm like, are you going to do your job or not?
Did they make you squat and cough or something?
Nah, nothing like that.
Oh, wow.
I hope not. I would have ran for the hills. But it's crazy that people have to go through stuff like that. People dress comfortably because you have to go through scenarios like that. Again, I couldn't imagine someone walking around in high heels and a dress or walking around in a three-piece suit.
Right.
Having to go through all of the things that you have
to
go through
with TSA. Maybe you wouldn't have to do that if you look like that.
Maybe they wouldn't harass you as much. Maybe they give you TSA pre-check
maybe
just off the rip.
Wear a tie, three-piece suit. Hey, how you doing, sir?
Ain't nobody got time for that.
They might let you clear.
You ever seen anybody in a three-piece suit on Spirit? I think not.
Oh, wow. Didn't they say it was like some roaches on Spirit?
It's all kinds of stuff on Spirit. Spirit will charge you $150 for a checked-in bag if you don't make weight. They get people. And so, again, a lot of these airlines are shoddy in the first place. It starts with the airlines. I think people fly in comfort and choose to kind of, I don't want to say minimize the process, but they choose to be in comfort because they know of all the, you know, kind of BS that they might have to deal with while they're in the airport. I just want to get comfortable. I want to get through the gate and I want to get to where I'm going so I don't have to deal with y'all until the end of my trip. That's the last thing that I'm thinking about. I'm not thinking about being civil on an airline.
Well, like I said, here we go.
It'd be like that sometimes.
People going to get targeted. It seemed like they putting up a little flag for a dress code. A lot of people might be missing some flights.
Yeah, it's looking like it. I mean, I remember they had the story about the woman who got pulled off of the flight. I think she showed up in biker shorts and a bonnet. And I think
she was out there.
I mean, she was wilding out, but
she was wilding out with the outfit.
But case in point, how much?
But who is to tell somebody what to
you
wear?
You can't put on. I think if it's in good, you know what's tasteful and what's
not. I'm just saying, you can't be out in public looking like. I would say that, but now they got the naked bike rides out here, so I don't know what they're doing no more in public. they can let the people do that naked bike ride. Who am I to tell somebody?
I think
what to wear. I'm just saying.
Nah, people know what's in good taste or not. I think if you're gonna fly, you shouldn't have toes out, cheeks out. No cleavage, no nothing. It shouldn't be no sagging, especially on the men's side of things. You know what is deemed appropriate and what is not. I think people have to kind of make those choices for themselves, but I don't think it needs to go as far as, again, three-piece suit and Sunday best. You know, if you're traveling, be within reason. I think that's the main thing that he's kind of trying to push there, but that there's a whole campaign kind of going off of this and that there's a tease, again, from the government, them being involved in kind of flight regulation, it's weird to me. It's kind of beyond me, but.
Hey, well, I'll say this. I don't fly that much. I'd rather drive.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm thinking about taking some flights, catching some flights in 2026. I'm thinking about getting outside. I mean, I'm finna use all my vacation time next year. I mean, I think this year I kind of pieced it together. But, hey, It's time to get outside. 2026.
We talking about the beach, the islands.
I'm trying to go.
You going to Yammy?
I'm trying to go to the cruises. I'm trying to see.
Okay.
I'm trying to see what's out here because I think for a long time I just purely advocated.
Yeah, it's overdue.
And it's overdue. Yeah, I got to make up.
I think they love you.
I got some makeup time.
I think they'll love you in Jamaica, right?
Hey, and I'm gonna try to do like a trip for Truth Nation. I'm trying to get a trip like how they do at 620, they hosts get to go on trips with their fans.
I'm not mad at that.
So I'm going to try to do a trip with the fans of Truth Nation. We can get out hopefully this coming up year.
We going on a 101.7 Truth Cruise?
We could do the cruise too. I mean, a lot of people like doing the cruise, but I want to go on the trip. I want to go out there, you know, we could do the cruise on Lake Michigan. A boat cruise,
I'm trying to be in Cuba, Haiti. Boat,
you talking about going
I'm
out
tropical,
there. Like,
I'm trying to drink out of coconut.
You got to get on the plane to Florida to get on the cruise.
Oh, yeah. I'm trying to get right off the dock. I need the lay on me. I need pina colada, daiquiri, Bahama Mama. I need that kind of
that's
energy.
What I'm I was just talking about, like, just a planned trip for just once a year. We all go on a trip together.
I'm down. We just got to make sure Andrew bring the sunscreen.
Okay.
And then we'd be all right.
Hold on. It's almost the end of November. Who winning the weight loss challenge?
Listen, man.
Yeah, talk to him, Tori.
I think it's a pick 'em right now. I think if I was a bet man, it's like -110, -110. You ask Andrew.
You playing like the Cleveland Browns right now.
Yeah, I'm playing with house money.
Yeah,
I'm just here for a good time. We tanking. I'm just here to have
you taking the weight loss challenge. You tanking it.
No, I'm not tanking, but like I'm on the kind of
$100 on the line.
It's kind of like the seafood.
You don't need $100.
I'm on the seafood eat food diet. Oh, that's wow. How I feel. If I want a seafood bowl, I'm gonna eat it. If I want some wings, I'm gonna eat it. I'm gonna get in the gym. Don't get me wrong, but
here we go.
I don't feel too much pressure. I feel good about my chances. Again, I'm just glad that Andrew was inspired enough to work out and take this challenge with me.
So, Mama mentality, so Tori.
Cheers
I wasn't
to him.
Gonna lose.
Cheers.
So you
that's
said
crazy.
Y'all got together and tricked Andrew into working out.
Basically.
Oh, wow.
Me and the dude kind of set it up. He don't know that, though.
Oh, wow.
we watched you play defense at that celebrity game.
Oh, wow. That's a low blow. I'm back next year and better. I promise you.
Raymond Felton.
Here we go.
I'm going to cut 30 pounds and I'm going to drop 30 next year.
Hey, all right. Well, thank you for coming through, GP.
As always, I appreciate it.
Hey, look, Truth Nation, when we come back, we got guests. Stay locked in.